if society will see that you are educated in the Western, technologies and so forth, that you're not ignorant and backward, and yet, at the same time, your wife observes the product, you yourself are observant to the teachings of your religion, you are not ignorant and so forth, this will have an effect not only on your family, but also on the society as a whole. But if all the educated Muslims, quote-unquote educated Muslims, because, I mean, obviously, if you're educated in Sharia, that means that you're ignorant. But if all the educated Muslims, in terms of the natural sciences and so forth, forsake their religion, or those of them who have still the religion come and live amongst the disbelievers, who is going to show an example to the millions or the 1 billion of Muslims in their country? And that's just in general. Specifically, without doubt, the Muslim lands are corrupt. And a lot of the problems you face here, you face there. And some problems that you face there can sometimes be worse in some cases than what you might face here. But in general, what we're encouraging is to go from a bad case to something which is not as bad. Obviously, if you're in a village or in a city, right? And there are 10, 15 families, which are good, pious, righteous families, and you're able to, mingle with those families, that there might be a good full-time Islamic school, that there might be a mosque which has a good scholar there, and not an ignorant person talking about religion. It has a greater influence on your life and the lives of your children and your wife and so forth than if you're in a situation where there might be just one or two people, in your secure community who you can really feel are a model for your family. So, the problems of the Muslim lands is not something that, anybody is, blind to. But the question is trying to check one evil with a lesser evil. And there are some people who, because they come from certain countries maybe, that those countries are in a state of chaos and civil war, where there are some people who, if they are to go back to their home country, they might be hung or killed because of their Islamic activities. There are those people who enter into Islam in this country and don't have the means to go and migrate to a Muslim country. There are the children of immigrants who have now become part of this society and do not have the means to go back to their home country. So all of these people, obviously, they have to fear Allah and try their utmost to live Islamic life while they're in the land of the kuffar. But what we're seeing now, this phenomenon, which is not known in the whole history of Islam, where you're finding not hundreds, not thousands, but millions of Muslims migrating from the lands of the Muslims and forsaking the Muslim land to live amongst the kuffar, basically just to have a better worldly life, and giving in exchange their children, this is a very embarrassing state of affairs. And it is one of the signs of Allah's punishment. It's one of the signs of Allah's punishment. Because those people who come here usually are those who lose their religion. And that is why it is only out of our concern and our love for ourselves and for our brothers and sisters and for those young, innocent faces that we see in the mosque that we are trying to emphasize this point over and over. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to assist us all and to educate us in our religion and bless us.
I was just need to hear anything. It won't reach all the way.
You just mentioned an example of what you're going to elaborate in solution. You mentioned about the biggest fear is for our kids to end up in shirk rather than in the smaller, problem. The example you gave that, your kids, start to socialize with those other kids, from other, whatever, faith. What is the solution? As a parent, my kid is out, with one of those kids because he has, what do I do?
The only solution I see is to learn about Islam and take your kids out of here. This is the problem.
It's just not a valid solution.
If that's not a valid solution, you have to learn your religion and you have to teach it to your children. That's the only way. You have to, as a parent, you have to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, in the passage that Idris began reading, Luqman gives a wow to his son. السيد يا بني لا تشرك بالله إن الشرك لظلم عظيم. He started off with issue of shirk. He didn't say to him, oh son, you know, make sure you do your homework, or oh son, make sure you learn, you know, whatever they were doing in those days, carpentry or something, you know, Baptist weaving. He said, do not make shirk in Allah. Now, if I as a father don't know what is shirk and what is kufr, if I as a father do not know, does not know what is iman and what is Islam, how can I expect that my children will be able to learn that from me? And even if you teach your child, as you know, certainly, it's not a necessity that in this society you will actually want to listen and follow that. So the only way to do it is to learn Islam, teach our kids, and pray to Allah to turn out that Allah saves us. And that's the only thing I can imagine.
As concerned Muslims, I think one should not think only of himself. Because maybe, alhamdulillah, the ones we couldn't do it, maybe we are a little bit aware of this and we might do it. But we could see around us, and we see many, many families, and of course, in the relatives who will follow, that are falling into this. What could you do as Muslims? Because, I mean, we see the example. I mean, I can't mention me. And we seem to have just listening to this.
Right. Now, just to add a little bit to what he was saying, and possibly inshallah, you know, to answer your question, there appears in this country the fact that this particular country, Yanni, allows the its inhabitants. Yeah, it allows its inhabitants, of course, to kind of to express themselves in a number of ways. And if you ask, for example, the average Catholic, the average Christian, Jew, whatever, what is Islam, or what do the Muslims believe, variety of them, or the majority of them actually, could tell you, well, you know, they don't eat pork, and, you know, their women cover in a particular way, okay, but as to what they actually believe, very few of them know. Are they aware of the fact, for example, that we have to pray 5 times a day? Are they aware of the fact that we have to eat? Are they aware of why it is that our women cover the way in which they do? Are they aware of the difference between why we believe the way that we do and why it is that we don't worship each of the mice? Are they aware of why it is that we don't eat pork? So you really have to ask the question, is this the fault? Because it's the fact that the kuffar do not know why it is that the Muslims believe and practice these things. Is this the fault of the kuffar, or is it the fault of the Muslims? And in many cases you'll find that it's literally our own fault that they don't know these things. And I say that because of the fact that in this country, you find that the country is very willing and open to make concessions for a number of groups, which even the kuffar cannot or despise. Like the homosexuals. And you find that in this particular society that they are willing to legislate laws in order so that the so-called gays will be able to go about and do whatever they wish to do, inasmuch as the people may detest it. And you find that if any person should go about and say anything against them, that is, say anything against the homosexuals, you're automatically labeled as being homophobic. Or they say that, oh, you're backward thinking, or you're reactionary, something of the sort. But yet, we know, just from this particular society, that just, say, 25, 30 years ago, that a couple who was possibly seen kissing in public, that many people would have thought of this as being repulsive. But because of the fact that it's been done so much so, and people have become so used to it now, that it's not thought of as being a big thing. So in the same way as this society is willing to make concessions for that which is detestable, why can't it make concessions for that which is good? In other words, yani, the Muslims being able to manifest their Islam, inasmuch as the people may detest it. Sure, I agree. And you hear this coming to say from a number of sisters in particular, as to the stares that they get, of how sometimes the kuffar will say, you know, Halloween is over, you know, call them a Casper, call them a ninja, things like this. You see, And I mean, this is well known. Okay, and a lot of sisters go through a lot of certain psychological turmoil because of these things coming from the book. Likewise, the men, you know, they say, oh, you know, you want to be Santa Claus, you know, you look like Romaine, something of this nature. You know, so I mean, this is the type of challenge, of course, that, you know, that we undergo, of course, as Muslims in this country. But the fact is that if we have to understand, we have nothing to be sorry for. We have nothing to be embarrassed about as Muslims. Because of the fact that this deen is designed, of course, to prevail over all other faiths. And if we actually believe this, and if we want to instill these things within our children, we have to manifest this message. If we expect for it to survive, if we expect for our children to have something which will help for them, both in this world and in the hereafter. So we can't come about and feel embarrassed, or feel shy, or think that I have something to apologize for, or say, well, you know, my boss, he won't let me get off on Friday, you know, or, you know, it's very difficult for me to make prayer, or it's difficult for me to make aid, or something like this. It's not a lot. It's well known that there are a number of groups here in this country that have been able, because of the fact that they wish to assert themselves, have been able to force these people to recognize them, and to force them to accept them. So much so that now, if you try to, if any employer, for example, who wishes to stop these groups from attending their religious rituals, or for them to go and have a type of flexibility because of their religious beliefs, they can easily be charged with job discrimination. So rather than doing that, they let you have a concession. But with the Muslimin, we find that we're willing to make concessions for the lifestyle and belief of the Prophet, which shows that we have an embarrassment about what we believe in. We feel that we have to make excuses for being Muslim. We have to come about and apologize for why it is that we don't participate in the many unrighteous things that people in your society have become used to. So this really is not the fault of the Prophet, it's the fault of the Muslim.
Yeah. Just as a final comment, probably, getting close to time, if you're part, to the greatest question about what about those who see our neighbors and those who are our friends who our children are drifting and they're drifting. The greatest responsibility that we have is to ourselves and to our family. Who, and the truth is what I need from now, protect yourself and your family from a comment. Likewise, obviously, if you are able to hold your family, in shape, it's going to influence the other family. It will influence the other family, because Muslims generally, even if Muslims reach rock bottom and try to say really start losing their faith, they usually still have some good left in their heart. And all they need is just a little prod to wake them up. So, you know, especially people who come from overseas, you know, they see in their children's faces when they wake up every morning that those children who are from their own flesh and blood, from their own loins, are drifting away from them day by day. So if you have a good family, it can do a great effect on other families. And, you know, we see this in the Washington, D.C. area where there are some families who, alhamdulillah, you know what I'm saying, have children and so forth. Their families, religious and so forth, they might invite other families over to dinner and so forth. The kids, you know what I'm saying, will start, maybe at first they won't, you know, aren't as religious as the other kids, but they'll start picking up their habits. And the wife, if she's not observing the hijab or the purja, she might then start, you know, just at first maybe just out of embarrassment. She doesn't want to be around these sisters who don't wear it. So when she comes to this gathering, she'll put it on, you know. And the husband, who maybe is not praying, you know what I'm saying, if everybody stands up and makes wudu for salah in the house, you know, he'll also come along and pray. And usually, if you are gentle and kind to the people will respond. But the problem is that if my household is in loss, and the second brother's household is in loss, and the third brother's household is in loss, then who's going to save? He'll plead for first for himself the most, you know, and his family. And then, inshallah ta'ala, if we straighten up ourselves and our family, inshallah ta'ala, then we can start looking at our neighbors and our, you know, cousins and our brothers and sisters and so forth, our loved ones. And Allah knows that.
Just say this is a final point, and that is that the fact is regarding manifesting oneself. we have to understand that this is something which will not only help ourselves, but of course can act as a very effective means of dawah. Because of the fact that there's no doubt that in the society that you find that the people, for the most part, are very much disgusted by the very rapid decaying of the moral structure of the society. And of course are looking for some sort of alternative, for something which they see as being a ray of hope. And ourselves, if we believe firmly in this faith, and of course we know it to be a solution to the problems that we find around it, this can indeed be a way of dawah for the people themselves. Because if they should, in the same way as they may feel disgusted with an individual who are repulsive to them, whether they be liars, thieves, drug pushers, and so forth, we find also that they can also be influenced, and even though they may feel feel somewhat self-conscious or say who are these people and why are these women covering this way and why does this man look this way, etc. When they see, for example, that the children and, of course, the habit of ourselves, which conforms, of course, to that which has been ordered by Allah and His Messenger, and see the positive aspects of this, they too may begin to question and ask, well, what is it that causes these people to look this way and act this way? And inshallah, you will find this to be a means of attraction. And I know of many cases where there have been instances like this, where sometimes myself and other brothers and certain sisters, for example, have been approached by kuffar who would just very innocently ask them, well, why is it that your women cover this way? Or why is it that you people pray in that way? Or why is it, who are you people? And you would be surprised because of the fact that in the society there's no doubt that there's a great deal, or literally a bombardment of negative type of propaganda against the Muslims. And many of us might think that, well, people already have a preconceived notion concerning Islam. I just came from a place earlier this week in West Virginia near the Kentucky state line, where the people themselves, very few of them had even heard about Islam. And they were very, very receptive and very open. And when they found that Islam was explained to them in its simplicity, they were so attracted to it, many of them were ready to take their shahada right then and there. So you find that this is something, Yanni, which the people, and I know, for example, of another brother who was telling me down in where he lives, in Tennessee, where he told me that almost every week, he said, people are coming into the masjid. He told me whole families, he said, are coming in. He said, taking their shahada. He said, and he said, because of the fact that they are seeing the positive influence of the Muslimin as opposed to these negative things which they see occurring in their society. So again, it shows the impact that we can have upon the people if we assert ourselves and manifest ourselves. Because as I was saying before, we have nothing to be ashamed of. We have nothing to make excuses for. This is a deen which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed to prevail over all other faiths. As one of the scholars of Islam has stated, and inshallah I'll end on this point, was that it is his firm belief that if you have du'as, if you have individuals who effectively know their deen properly and are able to convey it properly, he is convinced that people will enter into Islam exactly as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated in Quran, fi dinillahi afwaja, that they will come into the deen in crowds. And we have to believe in this. We have to manifest our faith and assert it. Inshallah, with that, I will conclude. And inshallah, I pray that Allah guides us and, of course, keeps us upon this faith. And subhanAllah wa bihamdi, astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh.
We thank the brothers for this nice lecture and the effort they put in during the past few days for coming here and giving us the opportunity to listen to them and learn from them. And we hope to see them again. We also thank the brothers who have attended this and the previous lectures. And we hope that this Islamic Awareness Week was fruitful to both Muslims and non-Muslims. And inshallah, we'll try to set up the same thing next year again. Before ending, I would like to say we have a few booklets here if anyone is interested to pick up in English the status of Sunnah in Islam, the Muslims' belief, and the general prescriptions of belief in the Quran and Sunnah. So if anyone wants to pick up these booklets, they're available here. And جزاكم الله خير سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك
ونستغفرك all the lectures that were done on campus and in the masjid. Also for the brother who requested this booklet, Islamic ruling regarding women's dress, just give me their names and I'll try to make copies for you of this and of the tape. Just give me your name and I'll try to make your copies in general.
Thank you.